And I'm encouraged about that, excited about that. And as we begin trying to do things a little bit more like we are used to doing them, I think it'll be an encouragement and help to all those that are involved. 1 Peter chapter number 5. So the title of tonight's message is really simple. It's one word. It's the idea of resist. Resist. And the cool thing is the Bible says that we're able to resist the devil. And you say, well, how come it doesn't seem like that? How come there seems like there's so many trials and so many problems? It seems like so many Christians are failing, Christians are giving in, and they're not resisting. And that's what we're going to look at in this passage tonight. It's a reminder. Most of us would say, if you go to 1 Peter chapter number 5, the most familiar verse is found in verse number 8, where it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So if there was one verse that probably most people would say, that's it, that's the one. If I say I'm going to 1 Peter 5, most people would say, that's the verse. And it talks about the seriousness. It talks about how we should take our relationship serious with the Lord and also respect exactly what the devil is trying to do. But if you go to the next verse, and not as many people know the next verse or even the next phrase, it says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." So he's talking about the dangerous devil that there is that's out there. And he says also something that's encouraging to me. He says, look, you're able to resist that devil. You should be sober, you should be vigilant, you should be remembering he is your adversary, the devil, and he's seeking whom he may devour. But then it says, resist steadfast in the faith. You think about our theme this year, steadfast, and there are certain things we should be steadfast about. There are certain things we should be unmovable about. And I know many times people clarify that with being young, being a certain standard or a certain belief or a certain stubbornness. And I'm telling you that, yes, I understand. If you know the truth, you know the doctrines, we should be steadfast about it. But also, I'm saying, I encourage me for this year with the theme was more about being steadfast with our spiritual disciplines, steadfast with our Bible reading, steadfast with our prayer time. And I've been encouraged with so many people saying that they signed up for that hour with God for the 21-day challenge. And I was, even before church tonight, someone was encouraging me how it's been good and how much they've enjoyed it and how much they've excited about it and going to continue on doing it through the 21 days. I've had some people say they're going to keep on doing it until God calls them home. And those are all great things. If we can get, you know, 30 to 40 people praying an hour a day, it'd be great if everybody did. But if they're having a genuine, continual walk with God, that's what we're talking about, being steadfast there. We all pretty much know how to be stubborn about certain things. And then we can be stubborn, and sometimes being stubborn about certain issues, I get it. But being steadfast about certain spiritual disciplines, and here's one of them. And like I said, chapter 5, verse number 8, most people quite probably quote it. We've heard preachers get up and talk about how ferocious and how dangerous and how we are supposed to be sober, serious-minded. That's all true. Be vigilant, making sure we're cautious. But then he says in verse number 9, you're able to resist that ferocious, dangerous beast. And so I think that's kind of interesting. That as it's telling us to be careful, it also says, look, you can resist them. Now, you think about it, I think it's interesting. He says, seeking whom he may devour. And I thought about this, you know, if we're able to resist them, that means he is looking for those that are not resisting him. So it's not like the devil going around and he's saying, okay, there's a Christian, there's someone who I don't like, I'm going to go destroy their lives. Now, he has to find someone who's going to allow them to Now, once again, the devil can attack. We go back to Job. You learn from Job. You see Job, but you know God gave Satan permission to do the things he did. But he's seeking. He's looking. Why is that? Because we're able to resist him. A lot of people out there don't get that. They don't understand that. They feel like they're weak in their Christian life. They don't understand the truths that the Bible teach. And because they don't understand that, they don't take the time to resist him steadfast in the faith. So tonight we're going to look a little bit about that. At the beginning, I thought, man, this is going to be a shorter sermon, and everybody would be excited about that. But as you begin studying it out, it becomes longer and longer, and I know some are excited about that too, I'm sure. So you think about what the devil here is interested in. So let's start off in verse number 5 and read it all the way down to verse number 10, And I want to give you some thoughts here, some keys to resisting or being steadfast in resisting. Verse number 5, it begins, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth." Now, you say, well, you mean God is one that resisteth someone? He does. It says he resisteth the proud. And it's the same root word that's there. He withstands. He stands against. That what we've been called to do and what we have the ability to do to fight against the devil, we're able to withstand the devil. We're able to stand against the devil. We're able to resist his, you know, his tricks, his traps, his yearning, all those different things. God himself is going to resist those that are prideful. Let's keep on going. He says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So if he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, what should we do? We should humble ourselves. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you take this truth and you drive it deep into our hearts, that, Lord, because of the victory that you had on Calvary, we're able to resist the devil. Lord, we do not have to succumb to the temptation. We do not have to give in. Instead, we can be steadfast and unmovable in our withstanding against the devil. Lord, I pray that each person here, young and old, understand that the devil has no power over them. If they're a Christian and they're a believer, they can have a victorious Christian life. Lord, I pray that they see the devil for who he is, see the devil for what he's trying to do in their lives, and that they would learn to resist what the devil's trying to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but just to verify or go back for a second, think about what the devil's trying to do in your life. He has no good intentions. Now, he might present something out there that's attractive. He might say, hey, this is what you want. This is what you need. The devil is nothing but fool's gold. It's always in the end, it's going to hurt you. Always in the end, it might seem like it's pleasurable for a season, but there's always a great price tag attached to that sin. It even says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the devil's intention for your life. He wants to destroy your life. They use the idea here in verse number 8. He says, "Seeking whom he may devour." Now, we've seen some people eat things before, and they guess eat something, and most times you would think, hey, they're being polite when they eat. You get around sometimes some teenage boys that are hungry, and you put some food out there, and they know that there's only a limited amount of food, and it's good till it's gone. I've seen some kids devour some food before. And you know what? I've seen some teenage girls devour some food before, too. Some little tiny skinny girls, and where did all the food go? You know, did they put it in their pocket? I've seen people guess inhale food before. I have a dog that at home, and she loves steak. Now, we don't feed a dog steak, obviously, but every once in a while, there's a little bite there, and she's sitting there just waiting anxiously, and it just seems like she swallows it whole. I mean, it's like, don't even chew it. I mean, how can you enjoy it if you're just swallowing something whole? And that's what the devil, the idea of devouring is. He wants to pretty much, you know, take you in, chew you in, spit you out. It sounds kind of disgusting, but that's what a person's life looks like. But after what the devil's done, he's ruined it. He's devoured it. It's left in some ways, undescribable. And that's what the devil wants with your life. And for the fact that most Christians don't understand that they can have victory, or at least not only do they might understand it, they just don't believe it, or they just don't practice it. And that's when these verses here, in verse number 8, such a key verse, but in verse number 9, when it says, whom resists steadfast in the faith, it just spoke to my heart about, hey, we can resist the devil. This is something that we are able to do with God's help. And that's why it says, who resists steadfast in the faith. So the good news, after verse number 8's warning, the good news is he can be defeated by the child of God. The secret to overcoming him and to changing his roar into a meow is the fact that we resist him. The word resist means to stand up against the devil. And I know what many people are saying, that sounds all good and well, but how come so many people succumb to their fiery darts of the devil's? They fall for his traps, they fall for his snares. It's because they have not learned to resist or stand against him, and they have not believed that they're able to. That's why it says steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the Lord has already defeated the devil and that the victory for the child of God is found in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Consider some of these verses that describe Satan as a defeated foe. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And think about what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14b and 15, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And you know, those that do not know Christ are subject to that bondage. They serve the prince and power of the air. They might not understand it. They might not see that. But as long as they have blinded the eyes, the devil has blinded the eyes of those who choose not to believe. You know what? We're different, though. As a Christian, as a believer, we are taught that we do not have to serve sin. Romans chapter 6 put it this way, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We do not have to sin. You can resist the devil. We do not have to be a notch on the devil's gun belt. You do not have to live in a wicked, sinful way. You do not have to give in to him. You can resist the devil and you can have victory. Don't let the devil steal your honor. Don't let the devil wreck your family. Don't let the devil steal your life. Anything else he's after, we can stand up against the devil and see the victory. Now, it's not us. As we resist him steadfast in the faith, it's believing. So here's a couple thoughts, or at least a couple keys to understanding or how to resist the devil. Keys to resisting the devil. The first thing I want you to think about is submission. Submission. What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? Well, you read the verses there. It begins in verses 1 through 4. It's talking mostly about pastors and the role and the responsibilities of a pastor. And in verse number 5, it begins talking about submission. It talks about the younger submitting themselves unto the elder. Then it talks about all of you be subject one to another. And then it uses this phrase, and be clothed with humility. The Bible speaks about the importance of being humble and being submissive. As much as we may not like it, all of us have authorities in our life. Sometimes it's a government type authority. Sometimes it's an authority at work. Sometimes it's authority in the home. Sometimes it's talking about authority in the church. God has designed and planned it a certain way that we have authorities in our life and the responsibility of submitting to those authorities. And the truth is that if we truly want to resist the devil, we need to make sure that we're not giving him any place or any room in our lives, giving him a place to start and to work to where he can go in and begin to devour us or begin to seek where he can destroy us or to rob, steal, or kill our lives. So think about what it's talking about here when it's talking about submission. You can resist him and you can see him defeated in your life, but the only way we can do that is when we learn to submit and be humble to God's plan. If you go to James chapter number 4, it's a similar passage of scripture, and you probably can quote this verse also. We like the last part. It says, the devil will flee from you. We even like the thought part. It says, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. But many times people forget those first few words in James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So this is the key here. Once you submit yourself to the Lord and you give yourself and you submit and become, as a sense, completely surrendered to his will and to his way, the Bible's saying that you're able to resist the devil and then he's going to flee from you. I don't know about you, but I think it's great when the devil just has got to run, where the devil's got to take off, when you just see him kicking up his heels because of the fact he's gone in your life because you've submitted yourself to God. And you know what? You've resisted him. You've withstood him. And he's got to leave. That's a scripture. That's a promise that's found in the Bible. But how comes it seems like he's always hanging around, he's always sticking around, and he's always causing you problems? Sometimes it's because we're not submitted to the Lord completely. Yes, we might try to withstand for a little while, but if we do not completely surrender and submit to him, our resistance levels begin to falter and come down because we're not completely surrendered to him. Let's go back to 1 Peter there. So you see that phrase, clothed with humility. It's kind of interesting. One preacher put it this way, clothed with humility literally means to wear the apron of a slave. It gives the picture of what Jesus Christ was willing to do in the upper room. And he taught him in the upper room about taking on the form of a servant, to being the doing the role of a slave and being willing to surrender. And that in Ephesians 6:6, it's talking about servants or bond slaves. They don't have any of their own plans. They don't have any of their own will. It's all about what the master desires for them. And that's what he's talking about, being clothed with humility. He's saying, I'm humbling myself underneath what God's plan is for my life, and I'm going to let him do what he wants with my life. I have no plans or no purpose except for what he desires for me. We live in a day when men are all seeking their own way, but the child of God, if they want to please the Lord, will learn to allow God to have first place in their life and be completely surrendered and humble and said, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I need God's help. I need him to lead me. I need him to direct me. God is not going to use a prideful person. He's not going to bless pride. It might seem like that on the outside. It might seem like everything's going well, but the pride that's inside a person's heart will cause envy and jealousy, will cause anger and bitterness, and those things will come out sooner or later. We must learn to submit to the roles that God has given us in our lives and say, okay, I don't understand it all, but if this is what God wants and this is what God desires, I'm willing to accept it and say, Lord, whatever you want. Submission is something that's hard for many people to understand, to accept. But we must accept it as a plan of the sovereign. If we can learn the way of humility, then the Lord will lift us up. That's what he's saying here in verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Sometimes it's hard to submit to someone that is not easy to submit to, someone who does not seem like they're doing what's right. And I think you always obey God rather than man. If the choice is on the shelf of obeying a government that's telling you you cannot do spiritual type things that you know the Bible's calling you to do, you should always obey God. That's what Peter was telling that religious authority in their lives. But there is actually spots in the Bible that talks about how we are supposed to be submissive to the government. And there are different other roles that we are supposed to submit to. Inside the home, the husband and the father has certain responsibilities and rights that they will have to answer to God for. And it's not because one is more important than the other. Instead, it's just God's role, and it's what God has designed it to be. And when we learn how to submit to that and submit to him and say, I know that I don't always understand. It's not about who's better at it, because sometimes the lady is more talented in certain areas. And what a person who has authority in life, they care more about that person's needs and that person's a person cares more about their needs and their wants more than an individual does. As a husband, it's their responsibility to take care of their wife and take care of their family and care about their needs more than their wife even cares about them. That's their responsibility. It's the right to choose, but you never really get the right to choose for yourself. You're choosing what's best for your family. And that's what a good person that's in authority, and that's what he's talking about in verse number 5. I think they talk about, hey, likewise, let the younger submit to the older. Let the all be subject unto one another. It's the idea of being accountable, but believing and trusting in God's plan. We do not want to resist the way that God has told us to do, because if we're resisting the Lord, you know what we're doing? We're not resisting the devil. We're giving him a place to work. We're giving him a place to move. And I know when we talk about being submitted to the human authorities that God has in our life, sometimes that sends a chill down our back and say, I don't like that part. And there are parts of the Bible we don't like. There are certain parts we really enjoy. We beat over other people's head. This is what I believe. Are we submissive to what God's called us to do? I think it's one of the keys to be able to resist the devil, as he's saying, if we will be clothed with humility. Because if we're not clothed with humility, if we're not being humble in our lives, then God is going to resist you. How can you walk in faith and resist the devil steadfastly in faith if God is the one resisting you? You think about what the word resist means. It means that we stand against. It means that we say no. It means that we look it in the eye and say, I don't want that. I don't have to be a part of that. I don't need that. To make you think about it in your own physical life. Sometimes if you're on a diet and you look at that Mountain Dew sitting in the refrigerator and you really know that you don't need it and you don't have to have it, but you sure do want it. It's when you shut the refrigerator door or when you give it to your son so that way you're not tempted to drink it anymore. So that's resisting it. That's steadfast. And the answer is no, I'm not going to do it. That's how we're supposed to speak to the devil. That's what God does to the person that's prideful. That's what God does to a person that's just does. They think they know better than God. We don't want to be on that side. We don't want our church to be on that side. We as individuals don't want to be on that side. Be willing to be submissive to what God has planned for your life, even to the authorities in your life. Maybe your authorities aren't the greatest or the best, but inside of this, God says he will lift you up in his due time, in his due season. Let's keep on going. Not only is it talking about being submissive, I believe, is a key to resisting the devil. The second thing is another key is, and the resistance is faith. It's faith. You know what? Some of us can be really, really disciplined and say no to a lot of things in this world. And I talked about that dieting thing. Some people are very disciplined and they can be very successful because they have the ability to say no to their flesh when it comes to dieting. But we're talking about a spiritual battle here. We're talking about you cannot do this on your own. You cannot say, I'm going to be wrong in this area of my life and then I'm going to come over here and I'm going to be able to resist the devil steadfastly in other areas. The devil is stronger. The devil is able to take care of us on our own. If we're on our own, we're not walking in faith, we're not believing and trusting that God is the one that is going to do the work, we're going to fail. We're going to succumb. We're going to continually, because what are you doing over here? You're living in a lie that I can do and I can have my sin. I can continue to have the wrong attitude. I can continue having the wrong thought process. I can maybe not be submissive here or I can have this area of my life. I'm just not going to read my Bible or I'm not going to pray or I'm not going to obey or I'm not going to give or I'm not going to serve. That we willfully choose not to live for God. What we're doing is we're giving place to the devil. We're not walking by faith. And that's what he's saying, resist steadfast in the faith. You can try super hard on your own strength and your own might, but the devil's gonna win in the end. Because without God's help and without the blood of Jesus Christ fighting for us, in a sense, we cannot have victory when we have other areas in our life that we choose to just ignore. That's what faith is talking about. Think about what it says in 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is not our discipline. It is not our heart. It's not these things. That's why many times Christians can live for years in an undercover type status. Everybody else thinks the world is great and they're fine, they're perfect, they're a good Christian. But inside they're dying because of the fact that they're trying to do all these things in their own strength. What is the true victory? That when are we going to be able to resist the devil? It's even our faith. Sometimes we get to the place where we have no doubts about this truth. But think about what 1 John 4:4 says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means that the Lord is fighting the battle. He is the one that's giving you the faith to resist those things. So much there's a challenge there in our lives, and we wonder, how come I cannot seem to get victory in this area of my life? It's because we're not living by faith. We're living by our sight and say, well, I've done it all these years. I have to do that. I've had this type of attitude problem all these years. It's just part of me. You're not resisting the devil. The Bible gives us victory. It promises victory. The devil has no right over you. The devil has no opportunity in your life unless you give it to him. He's seeking for those that he can devour. He's seeking for those he can manipulate. He's seeking for those that he can cause and wreak havoc in their lives. And it's when we leave a portion of ourselves over and give us a place for the devil, we, in all senses, stop the resisting power that we have. To get to that place that requires every child of God to grow in the Lord and that we strengthen our walk with him daily through prayer and through the study of his words, I think is what the scripture is saying here. We must make sure that we are humble. We must make sure that we do not let the cares of this world overcome what we know is truth. As it's talked about in verse number 7, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then he says, hey, don't miss this. It's not going to be easy task. You're going to have to be sober about this. You're going to have to be serious-minded. You're going to have to be focus. You're going to actually have to not just be sober about it. You're actually going to have to be vigilant. You're going to have to make sure that on purpose you're watching and you're waiting to say no and to resist. But the encouraging thing is we can resist the devil. Don't buy into the lie that he sells us as saying that you have to sin. Don't buy into the lie that everybody else has to do it. They have to experience. Everybody tries it. You're a young person. It's not a big deal. Everybody fails. Just get right with God. Those are all lies. You can have victory and you can have success. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you have to be a servant to that sin once you're a believer. It actually gives you victory and it says you can resist the devil if you're willing to resist him steadfastly in the faith. Verse number 9, it goes on and says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It talks about all the different things that are happening. They are things that are happening to others in the world, even happening to us. First Peter was written to a group of believers, and it talks a lot about the trials. It talks about the fiery darts. It talks about the fiery trials, and it talks about all the things they're facing. Many times these believers that are being written to are people who are facing losing their families just because they're believers. It's a day and a time where they actually have to worship God, not freely like we get the chance to. And he doesn't have to explain to them about the seriousness of their Christian walk, but he's saying to them, if you just learn how to be humble, if you learn how to be submissive, if you learn how to walk in faith, you can actually resist the devil. I pray this is an encouragement and help to you this week. Don't let the cares of this world rob you from submitting to the Lord. Don't let the lack of maybe what you look inside type some type of leadership, or whether it's your father at home or your mother at home, you feel like they're not every. No, the Bible says that you should obey them. The Bible says you should honor them. When it talks about the husband's role, when it talks about the government's role, when it even talks about a pastor's role. These are all things that we must learn to submit to the different authorities because we are giving ourselves an opportunity now to be able to resist the devil in other areas of our lives. But he begins this passage of scripture talking about in verse number 5, clothe with humility. We must learn to deal with our pride if we're ever planning on resisting the devil. If we're ever going to stand up and say, I don't have to do that in a faithful way, trusting and believing in him, we have to deal with our pride. We have to be willing to submit and surrender and become dependent upon his way. That's what it means to walk in faith. So tonight, resist the devil. Resist him. You read that verse number 8, and I know I've heard, I'd like to say hundreds of messages. It probably hasn't been hundreds of messages. But it's probably been 100 messages on that passage of scripture. I've heard what it means to be the roaring lion, how it can be heard 20 or 30 hours away, and how it strikes fear in the individual's hearts and the other animals' hearts. And I've heard so many different things about the fierceness of the lion and how it can eat 1/3 of its own weight in one setting. Can you imagine that, eating 1/3 of your weight in one setting? It is a fierce animal. But the next verse, we don't hear as much. You can resist him. You have the ability to, with God's help, resist him steadfastly, not just once. Be steadfast about it in the faith. Go back to the other verse in James. Submit yourself unto the Lord. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. This great verse is there. You have the ability to resist him. Let's ask God tonight to help us with resisting him. We hear the devil and we see him. He is a fierce enemy, but he is a defeated foe. You give him place, he can't take it. He's looking for someone. Don't give him the opportunity. Maybe it's some pride in our lives. Maybe it's not being willing to submit to what God has put in our lives or submit to his will. Say, oh, I don't know about that. Go look it up in the scriptures. Because when we start questioning the word of God, you know what happens? That's when we give place to the devil. And you know what happens after that? Our resistance levels, they just become non-existent. We continue on acting like the Christian, looking like the Christian, but we know inside we're not getting victories. And he will let you get victories in certain areas as long as he can keep a stronghold in another area. Yeah, he might not come mess with you. He said, Pastor, I never drank a day in my life and never even wanted to drink. He's okay with you fighting, having that when he can keep you with a dirty thought life. As long as he has a spot in your life that we're not resisting, he's going to get the victory. But he doesn't have to. The rejoicing factor, the shouting thing is, hey, we can resist this enemy of ours. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord,